Officials in two states and the District of Columbia are scratching their heads over how the new FBI headquarters project, after maybe 10 years of planning, could fall through. Kaput. But construction officials at the General Services Administration felt they had no other choice once Congress failed to come through with enough money to proceed. Joining me with more on the long-term implications, former GSA Administrator Dan Tangerlini. Dan, good to have you on.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's good to be on.
And this was going on partly during your administration and several more before that. And so my first question is, as a developer, why would anyone bother now to bid on a federal project or get involved when this seems to be a common outcome?
Well, I think that's a really important question and a very substantial concern. And I think that I hope that GSA really considered what the implications would be in terms of their ability to attract people to future projects by canceling this one.
Did GSA, in fact, have no other choice, as they stated?
Well, I wasn't in the room. You know, I have a lot of faith in the technical ability of the highly qualified professional staff at GSA, but I find that a little hard to believe, to be perfectly honest. I think that there are options. They could have de-scoped the project. They could have phased the project. They could have, you know, I think that there are many options. So I think to some extent, I hope the people participating in the process have gotten a better explanation. And more importantly, I think the American taxpayers deserve to know what the plan B is. Simply saying we're not going to do anything about the FBI headquarters is not a sustainable path. 2011, GAO wrote a report that says that the current building at the time needs over $750 million worth of repair to just be in a state of good repair. And that wouldn't do anything to handle the issues of security and efficiency that the current building lacks. So, you know, this is a project that was critical to do when I was there. It's critical to get done now.
And not knowing precisely what that property and the building on it is worth, I mean, certainly the property is quite a valuable block right in the central part of D.C. there. But if they threw that in for the swap deal and then the building remaining costs would be about, I think, $1.4 billion, could there be the possibility of a headquarters maybe not so expensive but still meeting the needs of the FBI?
Well, that was the idea, was that we would use the value of the property to help defray some of the costs. We succeeded dramatically at the Volpe Transportation Center in doing just that. In fact, the federal government stands to make several hundred million dollars on that deal. But I think the most important thing really is, what are we going to do about the most important federal law enforcement agency and the fact that it is in a non-functional and frankly unsafe building? And I think that that's why just saying we're not going to do this is an easy answer. Saying what you're going to do instead is the critical question.
I guess they could just lease space in a safe building at some point and just move everybody. That's probably not ideal, but it would get them out from under that cracked, crumbling place.
There aren't many 2 million square foot empty buildings lying around the region. I mean, that was something we definitely looked at when we even contemplated this process. So then the other question is, well, what's a lease like that going to cost? And if the issue was that this was a financial concern, I don't see how the federal government getting into a long-term lease, which it has no equity interest, somehow makes that more affordable.
I guess there are real estate interests that argue in favor of long-term leases, but because they're lower than short-term leases, but they have a self-interest, I guess, in there also.
Yeah, and I think you know, the GAO has done a lot of work on this as well. And while I think that the private sector could provide a tremendous amount of efficiency and even capital to solving some of these real estate problems, our current binary decision between leasing or building is not the best way to run the federal real estate program. And I think that actually what needs to happen is people need to look at the way we account for, the way we budget for, and the way we manage federal real estate, because the way we're doing it now is actually the most expensive and least efficient way for the American taxpayer.
We're speaking with former GSA Administrator Dan Tangerlini, but there's another wild card in there, even if you could fix all of those things, and that is Congress, which can never seem to agree. And I make the case of the DHS headquarters, another long-term what-the-heck-is-going-on situation.
Yeah, well, and I think, again, Congress is hamstrung by some 26-year-old rule that really don't reflect the understanding and experience that we've gained over that period of time, how real estate management for the federal government really could work. So what's interesting is, in this instance, Well, Congress has gone back and forth about how much they're willing to appropriate at this point for the building. They have appropriated hundreds of millions of dollars for this effort. So to say that there was unwillingness on the part of Congress to sponsor the effort, I don't think is reflected by what's actually happened over the last couple of years.
So getting back to the binary question of buying or leasing, what do you feel is a better long-term path for how the government does manage real estate?
Well, I think the government could learn an awful lot from the private sector, and they could actually work with the private sector in public-private partnerships in which we bring a combination of government capital and private capital, and a combination of long-term government ownership, but near-term private sector management, operation, finance, construction, development. Look, this is done in Europe. This is done in Asia. We just aren't doing it here, and that's because we haven't had a meaningful, thoughtful, smart discussion about the way we handle capital investments in the federal government in many, many years. It's time to do that. And if there really is an infrastructure bill and an infrastructure effort that's being contemplated, well, this should be part of the dialogue as well.
Talk about briefly the Labor Department, because that was also a swap for a private investor coming in to take over that property, and then the Labor Department would get a new situation. But that never happened either.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's another frustrating one. If you go up and you look at the Volpe Transportation Research Center example, if you look at the Moffett Federal Airfield example, it seems like these things can get done as long as they're out of the 202 area code. I'm not sure why it's so hard to do it here in D.C.
Is the Trump Hotel in the old post office pavilion, is that kind of like a possibility of a model in reverse? Politics aside.
I mean, politics aside on that one. And you would think actually this administration would have totally understood the value then of a public-private partnership in which a private entity brings at-risk capital to a public facility and renovates it for a new purpose. That purpose could be federal office space. I don't know. I don't understand the logic of why we can't lease a federal building that has been modernized by a private sector partner, why we can't get back into a leaseback arrangement with them when we can go out into the marketplace and just lease a building. I don't know why we wouldn't want to have long-term beneficial and equity interests in that property as the federal government.
Other high capital industries like airlines have done that kind of thing, a lease back of their own aircraft, and
Absolutely.
That seems to work for them.
And cities and states and counties do it. The big issue is that we have a one-year budget. We don't have a capital budget. And the rules that we operate under for that one-year budget actually favor operating expenses and tax transfers, entitlements over capital investment. I think it's a deeply concerning issue about the way we budget the federal finances, and it should be something that's discussed in more in depth. People should have this conversation because it's holding back our ability to make meaningful investment in important infrastructure such as an FBI headquarters.
So if you were at the helm of GSA this morning, what would you be telling your own people and what would you be saying to the FBI?
That's a really tough position, and I think it's kind of unfair that it's being left entirely to career staff to do it. There is a reason why you have political appointees in these positions. They represent the position of the administration. They take the hit for administration decisions, and I think that it's one of the problems with so many positions being unfilled.
Dan Tangerlini is the former administrator of the General Services Administration. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time, and thanks for the thoughtful discussion.